This morning's reading is taken from Acts chapter 15. If you're following it in the books, the Bible's in these seats, it's found on page 1259. Acts chapter 15, beginning at verse 36. Disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Amen. This is the word of God.
Thanks for that reading, Annette. As we come to hear from the word of God, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word, the Bible, Lord, the complete revelation that we need to live as your people. Lord, help us now to focus in on this time and learn from your word. Lord, help us to not just be hearers or readers of your word, but people who take action on your word, who do what it says. Help us in this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we've come to the end of our current series looking in the book of Acts at chapters 13 to 15 particularly, where Paul undertakes his first missionary journey, taking the good news about Jesus to people living far away from Jerusalem and Israel. Now today we'll look through the passage of Acts chapter 15 verse 36 into the start of chapter 16 verse 5 together. And when you read these verses, I think you can see clearly the ongoing nature of gospel work as Paul and Barnabas prepare to return once again to the various places they preach the gospel, to see how people are going and to strengthen their faith. But also, however, while reading these verses, you can't help but think in a way, what's going on? Like, what's going to happen now? Because Paul and Barnabas, these two great men of faith, who at the start of chapter 13 are set apart by the Holy Spirit to go out preaching the gospel, and now, at the end of chapter 15, disagreeing and separating from each other. Now surely this isn't helpful. Surely this will affect God's work in a negative way. Now surely. Well, let's go through this passage together and see. And as we do this, I think there's two things in particular that we can learn about or be reminded about relating to the work of the gospel, this spreading of the good news about Jesus Christ throughout the world. So firstly, we can understand that the work of the gospel is a continuing task. It's ongoing all the time. It doesn't finish until Jesus returns. A second thing we can understand also is that difficult situations don't stop the work of the gospel. They can't stop God's work. So let's look at both of these points in turn now and see what we can learn from them. So, first point, that the work of the gospel is a continuing task. This is partly because within the continuing work of the gospel there's different aspects involved. Like, yes, we're to share the good news about Jesus Christ with people that we meet, proclaiming the gospel. That work in itself is a continuing task, but then we're also to disciple those who believe and accept the good news. in an ongoing way, helping them and teaching them to grow and be strengthened in their faith. And as we're continually sharing the good news, people are continually believing and then continually needing discipling. It's a continuing task. And when I say it's a continuing task, I don't mean that it's a chore or it's a burden that we have. No, it's an ongoing responsibility that we've been given by God, and it's actually an honour to be a part of it too, to actually be involved in the work of God here on earth. So then here in Acts chapter 13 to 15, we've read that Paul and Barnabas, they've gone on their first missionary journey. They've visited several places and churches were planted and started in those places as people believed the good news about Jesus Christ. So then after visiting these places, they turned around and visited them again. We read in chapter 14, it says, strengthening the disciples, encouraging them to remain true to the faith and appointing elders in these new churches. But now then, here in today's passage, in chapter 15, verse 36, after having since travelled to Jerusalem to be involved in the decisions of the Jerusalem Council regarding circumcision of Gentile believers, and then having spent some time back in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord there, Paul now, here in verse 36, says to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. In other words, let's go back again to Cyprus, to Salamis and Paphos there, then go to Perga, to Pisidian Antioch, to Iconium, to Lystra, to Derbe. Now let's revisit all the new churches and new believers in these places and see how they're doing. Now let's go back again and help strengthen our brothers and sisters in their faith. And so that's what Paul and Barnabas are going to do. They're going to go out and visit these cities for the third time. But things don't quite work out the way that they planned, which I'll get to in my second point today. But nevertheless, they do return. So Barnabas and Mark to Cyprus, the island down the bottom there. And Paul and Silas, they go through Syria and Cilicia. You can see it marked the pink and yellow on the far right of the map. And then they go on to Derbe and Lystra as well. So Paul and Silas's work is mentioned in particular, strengthening the churches in Syria and Cilicia, verse 41 says. So why do they return? Essentially, because the work of the gospel is an ongoing task. Yes, Paul and Barnabas, they'd gone back straight away through the cities where they had initially preached the good news during their first missionary journey, helping to strengthen the new believers and ensure that the churches would be led well by appointing elders in the churches. But the work in those cities, in those churches, didn't end there and then. You know, because we're told by Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations at the end of Matthew's gospel account, not to make converts, not to make believers, but disciples. And to make disciples takes time, not simply a flying visit, but visiting with the people again and again, spending time with them, relating with them, helping them to grow in their faith. And so that's what Paul's doing here in this passage, visiting new believers and churches again, spending time together with them, encouraging and strengthening them in their faith, you know, discipling them. Because, for example, what would have happened if Paul and Barnabas had have gone through these cities only once, just shared the good news with them and then left, never coming back? Do you think those new believers would grow well in their faith? Maybe. You know, if they're trusting fully in God, but there'd probably be lots of mistakes as human error and human nature and sin distorted their beliefs. much better that they be discipled and helped to grow in their faith by those who are more mature and experienced in their faith, in their Christian walk. So it's actually really warming and to read what Paul says here in verse 36. Let's go back and see how they're doing. You know, he cares about these people in these places. And note too that when Paul's saying this here, these events occur a while after the events in chapters 13 and 14. Like, in verse 28 of chapter 14 says that Paul and Barnabas, they stayed in Antioch for a long time after they returned from this missionary journey. And also here in today's passage in verse 36, it starts with some time later. You know, some time later after the Jerusalem Council. So a long period of time had passed, and Paul wanted to know what was going on in these places, in these churches. Now, can you see it here? This is a continuing task of the work of the gospel, revisiting the places they'd been to before, discipling and encouraging and strengthening the faith of the believers in those cities, making disciples whose faith would grow and endure. And so then how does this point about the work of the gospel being a continuing task unfold for us here at Reservoir? You know, what does this mean for us as a church? Well, I think the most important thing to consider is, are we actually a part of this gospel work? Now, we claim the name of Christians, but are we sharing the good news about Jesus Christ? Are we making disciples as Jesus commands us? Now, that's the first point we should start with and think about in our lives. Because if we're not even doing that, then there is no gospel work being done in the first place. And then, as we're involved in sharing the good news about Jesus, do we see this work of the gospel as something that is ongoing? Now, we're to keep on sharing the good news, keep on discipling believers, keep on encouraging and strengthening one another in our faith. Now, we don't just share the good news, have someone believe, and then stop. Now, we have to make disciples. Disciples of Jesus Christ who are growing in their faith, who are enduring in their faith. And by that, I'm not just talking about new believers. Now, even if you've been a Christian for 20 years, 40 years, 60 years, you never stop growing in your faith. And to do all this requires an ongoing effort. And it's an effort that involves all of us. We can all encourage and strengthen one another in our faith. It's not just reliant on the minister or the elders or the deacons. You know, we can all do it and be involved in it. Now, when you talk with someone here at church, ask them how they're going in their faith. Is there anything they need prayer for? Are they involved in a Bible study group where they want to read the Bible or pray together? Now, is someone a new believer? It's fantastic. How then can they be helped to grow in their faith? Now, we need to be helping one another in this way to keep growing in our faith, to keep strengthening our faith, to keep going in this continuing task of the work of the gospel. Which then brings us to the second point I think we can take from this passage overall, and that is that the difficult situations don't stop the work of the gospel. And what do I mean by this? Well, this passage contains a difficult situation that's faced by Paul and Barnabas, because Paul and Barnabas, when they're just about to return to visit the believers and churches they shared the good news with during their first missionary journey, we read that here in verses 39 to 41 that they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of God. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, this sounds like terrible news. And it is really, because two believers, two leaders in the church, had a big disagreement and parted company. And they separated, they split up. the missionary team of Paul and Barnabas no more. Now, it's hardly great news to be hearing, especially coming after the Jerusalem Council. Now, wasn't that a great time of unity in the church as the elders and the apostles got together in Jerusalem to make some big decisions? And now, after that, these two prominent church leaders show a lack of unity, having an argument and going their separate ways. Now, it's a bit disappointing to read, really. And the reason for their argument is because of John, also known as Mark, the same Mark who went on to write the Gospel account of Mark. Now, Mark, he'd gone with Paul and Barnabas during their first missionary journey, helping them in the work. However, after they'd visited Cyprus and then arrived in Perga, Mark left them to return to Jerusalem. It says in Acts, in chapter 13, verse 13, here in Acts. Here in today's passage, it states that Mark had deserted Paul and Barnabas and had not continued with them in the work. Now, it's a strong word. He deserted them. Now, why did he do this? Why did it happen? Well, we're not really sure. The Bible doesn't say. But however, because of this happening previously, Paul now didn't want to take Mark along with them when they revisited the believers and churches. Now, maybe he thought he's failed once, he could do it again. No, we need someone we can rely on. But Barnabas, however, he wanted to take Mark along, perhaps as Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. You know, he wanted to encourage Mark to continue serving. And I think, too, the fact that Mark was being considered again in the first place suggests that Mark wanted to go again, too. Now, here, some say that Paul is concerned about the work, while Barnabas is concerned about the person. And interestingly, neither is mentioned as being in the right here. And so, outright disagreeing with each other, Paul and Barnabas' missionary team split. Now, this sounds like a terrible outcome for the work of the gospel. A successful missionary team, now no more. Disagreement between two leaders in the church. Now, how is the work of the gospel going to go on without Paul and Barnabas there together, taking the good news out into the world? Is this a setback to the church? Does all mission and outreach work stop with people taking sides and debating about who's right and who's wrong? Well, no, we'll see. As we continue looking in this passage, yes, they parted company, but what happened then? We read that Barnabas and Mark went to Cyprus, which is Barnabas' birthplace, where some of the believers and churches from the first missionary journey were. And Paul, he chose a new companion, Silas, one of the church leaders from Jerusalem, who was there in Antioch, and they went to churches in Syria and Cilicia, which is actually where Paul comes from, the city of Tarsus there, and then they went on to Derbe and Lystra. Now, in other words, there were now two missionary teams. So Barnabas and Mark and Paul and Silas. And these two teams went out and revisited places they'd been to on the first missionary journey. Now, what we would think is a bad situation, God instead uses for good. Now, what we may think will cause problems for God's work does not in fact stop the work of the gospel. In fact, it's actually multiplied the work. You have two teams where there was only one before. And it's important to note too here that even though Paul and Barnabas disagreed here over Mark, other books of the Bible show that Mark is later redeemed in Paul's sight. Now, for example, in Colossians chapter 4 verse 10, Paul says, "My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas." They're actually cousins. "You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him." And also in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 11 says, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to me in my ministry Paul says. And also in Philemon verses 23 to 24 too, Paul says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. You know, Paul speaks highly about Mark at a later time. So two missionary teams now, both going to different places, yet both still doing the continuing work of the gospel, continuing to encourage and strengthen believers and churches and disciple them. What was a difficult situation didn't stop the work of the gospel. So Barnabas and Mark, they went to Cyprus, not mentioned again in the book of Acts, but Paul and Silas, we're told, because Acts is focusing on Paul, they go through Syria and Cilicia and end up in Derbe and Lystra. There in Lystra they meet Timothy, who also joins their missionary team. We're not going to focus on Timothy today, however. He'll be looked at in the next message that we have from the book of Acts. But he joins Paul's team, and as verses 4 to 5 of chapter 16 say at the end of this passage, as they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. You know, they revisited peaceful places and people again, and the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew. And again, so then what can we learn from this point? You know, how does this relate to our lives, this point that difficult situations don't stop the work of the gospel? Well, do you ever face any difficult situations in your life as Christians? You know, like what happens here between Paul and Barnabas, like what happens regarding Mark's example. You know, I reckon we all would in our lives. And they're not fun situations to be in. Now, no one likes disagreement or conflict, or even in Mark's case, failure. But disagreements will happen from time to time. Failure will happen from time to time. But in those times, in those situations, don't be discouraged. God is bigger than us and our issues and our problems and our failures. Yes. God allows us to be involved in his saving work as we share the good news about Jesus with people, but he's not reliant upon us alone. God is sovereign, not us, meaning that our actions and behaviours don't stop his work of the gospel. God can work in all situations, as the examples of Paul and Barnabas and Mark here show clearly. Now, regarding disagreements, thinking about disagreements, we really need to be alert and try not to get into these sort of situations in the first place, really. And if you're in that sort of situation, ask yourself, is it really something that I have to win against that other person? I mean, sure, sometimes we have no choice about a disagreement. You know, if someone's not speaking the truth about the Bible, for example, then we have to disagree with them. But there's ways to do it nicely, avoiding conflicts. You know, for instance, it's like sometimes when debating about Christianity with a non-believer, with someone who doesn't believe about God, you know, the average Christian usually has far more Bible knowledge than the average non-believer. But it can be unwise to bash the other person over the head with all that knowledge, proving them wrong again and again and again. It's much more gracious to allow a non-believer to make their claims and listen to their points. And yes, say that they're wrong, but in a kind and gracious way, so that when they consider about what you've discussed later, they'll hopefully realise that you were actually gracious and kind to them when you could have hammered them down for their errors. Now, that way you're a good witness, an example, rather than having a huge disagreement and not speaking to that person again. And really, the same goes to anyone you may disagree with. And also, too, think regarding failure And think about Mark's example here. Now, verse 38 says that he deserted Paul and Barnabas while they were on their missionary journey. Basically, he failed in his ministry and went home, back to Jerusalem. Now, I know not many of us are involved in full-time ministry work, but many of us are involved in lay ministry work, so volunteer work for the church, for the gospel. And there can be times when we can fail in our work or feel like we've failed, just like Mark's example here. But even though we may fail, we can take encouragement from Mark's example. Because yes, here in Acts it says that he failed, but he recovered and went on to serve God well. You know, he recovered so well that Paul speaks highly of him in several of his letters as being a fellow worker in the gospel. You know, he recovered so well that he went on to write the Gospel of Mark, one of the books of the Bible, you know, based mainly on Peter's experiences. And so we may fail, but we can recover from failure and go on to contribute greatly to God's work, just like Mark did. Now, we may have disagreements with others sometimes too, but in those times we should never think that these things could stop the work of the gospel. God can work in good times and in bad times to carry out his will. So then, over the past several months, we've looked together through chapters 13 to 15 of the book of Acts, particularly looking at Paul's first missionary journey. And what have we seen through these chapters? Now, we've seen that the Holy Spirit is behind the work of the gospel that unfolds throughout these chapters, and in fact, throughout all the book of Acts. He sent Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey in the first place, and he was involved in all that they were doing. Also, we've seen the gospel spread further and further away from Jerusalem. People from Jewish and Gentile, non-Jewish backgrounds alike were being saved as Paul and Barnabas and others took the good news about Jesus into new regions. And we've seen too that there was opposition to the gospel. Now remember, there was the Jewish sorcerer in Cyprus, as well as Jews in Pisidian Antioch, in Iconium, and in Lystra. And also there were actually believers from Judah belonging to the Pharisees who declared that Gentile believers had to be circumcised to be saved, you know, a form of opposition there also. No, but none of this opposition stopped the work of the gospel. And also, finally, we've also witnessed great unity by Christian believers as the Jerusalem Council met to debate and decide on issues of the day that were happening. Now, these are all things that are still happening for Christianity today as well. Now, we can be encouraged that the Holy Spirit is still at work among his people, helping us to play our part in the work of the gospel. Now, the gospel is still spreading throughout the world to people who don't yet know Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, there's still opposition to the gospel too. But that opposition still can't stop God's work, and never will. And also, there's still great examples of Christian unity today. And as we finish Acts and finish this section of Acts today, we also note from today's passage that the work of the gospel continues on. It's a continuing task. The first missionary journey has concluded. You know, Acts chapter 13 to 15 have concluded, but the work of the gospel continues on. Now, it was continuing on in all the cities and towns that Paul and Barnabas had visited. It's continuing on elsewhere. Now, when we come back to Acts from chapter 16 onwards, Paul's second missionary journey starts, and they're continuing to take the gospel out. And it's continuing today as well. Here at Reservoir, we're involved in sharing this good news and encouraging and strengthening others in our faith. And secondly, finally, we can observe that while carrying out this ongoing work of the gospel, that difficult situations will come about. We may have disagreements, we may have failures, but these things don't stop God's work. And nothing stops the work of the gospel, not in Paul's time and not today in our time either. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord, for the encouragement that we can get from it, Lord, as we read about, particularly here in Acts, about Paul and Barnabas' work, Lord. Even though it's disappointing that they disagreed with one another, Lord, you used that situation for good, multiplying the work, Lord. And we can see that at a later date there was reconciliation amongst these workers, Lord. Lord, help us to be continuing in the work of the gospel, continuing to obey your commandment to go out and make disciples of all nations. And help us to be encouraged that no matter what's going on in our messed up human lives, Lord, that we can't stop your work unfolding and carrying out in the world. And that even situations that might be bad for us, you still work for good. Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.